8, good morning. Now, it may be not something that you've thought of when you've been sent home from the doctors with a box of pills. What would happen if these antibiotics stop working? Well, antibiotic resistance has been an emerging problem for some time now, but during the current COVID pandemic, it's become an even bigger problem. One man who knows all about it is Dr. Adam Roberts from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Let's talk to him now. Adam, good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. Well, we hear a lot about people not receiving antibiotics anymore when they go to the doctors, that they just won't work anymore for certain bacterial infections. When did antibiotics stop working? When did we know about this?
Good morning. So we've known about the problem of antibiotic resistance for decades. We haven't really done anything about it because we had quite a lot of antibiotics that we could use. But what has happened over the last sort of 30, 20 years is that the antibiotics have become less and less effective. We're still not in a position, thankfully, where we've got no antibiotics left, but it does appear that for some infections, there's only one or possibly two antibiotics which clinicians can use.
So there's that few because, you know, to an ordinary member of the public, you think, oh, there's thousands of different antibiotics and, you know, there's shelf fulls. Just go and pick one. It's not like that.
No, unfortunately not. So in the entire industry of human activity in terms of antibiotic discovery and development, we've probably only got 30 to 50 that we can really use.
So if we've known that this is the case for many years, why have we not worked on it?
So there's been a lot of work on it, both in terms of looking for new compounds and also in terms of trying to determine how bacteria become resistant. But unfortunately, when you try and make new antibiotics, there's not a lot of economic return. So pharmaceutical companies, if they were going to focus on antibiotics, they would end up losing money. And that's not very good for a business. So it's likely we need a slightly different economic model or a brand new economic model in order to restart the antibiotic discovery market.
Right. So we've got down to the nitty gritty now. This is economic then, isn't it? And as you say, you know, big companies, why would they do that if they're just going to make tuppence halfpenny or make hardly any money on it? It's there's nothing in it for them.
That's correct. And to be honest, you can't expect a company which thrives on profit to concentrate on something which would bring in only economic loss. Hmm. That company wouldn't exist for long. So it's unfair to expect them without any help.
Sure.
To solve this particular crisis.
So who do we turn to then to make sure that we are a safe and well society in the decades to come? Where do we get this money from? Is it government?
So government is one source. And in the UK at the moment, the NHS is trying a new licensing option whereby they would pay pharmaceutical companies for a new antibiotic regardless of how much they use them. So therefore, the usage is not linked to the profit margins, which is an excellent idea. It may be that actually we need a kind of a public movement in antibiotic discovery, whereby the government funds all of it. And you can see that to kind of kickstart the economy in drug discovery, you probably need about £4 to £5 billion.
My.
And when you think about how much money has been rightly given over to the COVID research, It's minuscule in comparison. We're talking trillions for COVID research.
It would be seen as a good investment, of course it would. Do correct me, because I always get this the wrong way round. Antibiotics treat bacteria, but not viruses. So it wouldn't work on COVID anyway. Have I got that the right way round?
That's exactly right, yes. So, as you say, antibiotics, they treat bacterial infections. COVID is due to a virus, so antibiotics wouldn't work. However, many of the patients that come with COVID are thought to have bacterial secondary infections. So they may have an infection in their lung in addition to COVID.
Hmm.
So many, if not the majority of patients with COVID, are given antibiotics as a matter of course. And that's the right thing to do, actually, because if you have got a secondary bacterial infection, then you need to treat that as well. But there is a knowledge gap in that we're not sure yet exactly how many COVID patients have bacterial secondary infections. So there's a huge knowledge gap where diagnostics could fill that.
I had a conversation with my son the other night. We were on our walk and he asked me a question. I didn't know the answer to it. He said, why can't they just come up with a vaccine? It's not as easy as that, is it? You know, it's not a case of, right, OK, we've dismantled the DNA of this virus now and we can just go to a shelf and say we've got a vaccine for that. It doesn't work like that, does it?
No, not really. That's essentially what we are doing in terms of vaccine discovery. There are many groups around the world now looking and trying to develop new vaccines, and early indications are that it's going very, very well. But the amount of work required and the amount of regulatory tests that have to be passed before it can be given to humans is a huge sort of hurdle that these groups have to overcome, because we have to make sure that the vaccine is safe before it's trialled in humans. Mm.
But we are moving ahead at a hell of a pace compared to, you know, the non-COVID world. We would never be this far down the line if it wasn't for organisations and competitors in many cases coming together and saying, let's work together on this.
That's absolutely correct. There's a kind of an open source scientific environment which has emerged from this COVID challenge, where groups are not only competing but working together, governments are working together, and that's the kind of response that I think the world needs to something which is such a threat as COVID. And interestingly, antibiotic resistance falls into that as well, as does climate change. So we can see that when we are pushed, this response can actually materialize. We would be wise to materialise this response for AMR and climate change before we get to the position that we're in now with COVID.
Adam, we're almost out of time, but I always like to end on a positive. If some good is to come out of this this crisis that we find ourselves in at the moment, do you think it would just push forward time-wise the fact that we can discover new antibiotics and learn more and just keep our population safe?
It may well do. I think what society will have is more of an appreciation for how science can solve problems and how fundamentally important scientific research is in the response to things like the COVID epidemic and AMR.
Adam, great to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed. Always a pleasure to speak to our contributors from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Now, it's 3:30.